Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one talkie podcast in all of Talksylvania. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Razorman Frizzman. Now you're moron!
That was a good intro. Again.
That's your new intro. Are you upset about it? Do you want me to go back to Kid Rock? Is that what you're screaming for?
Could you get something else? Entirely. I mean, both might be played out.
I'll do. All right. Well, all right. We've only done the Orgasmo one 2 weeks, so it's probably played out already.
Feeling like it's played out. In this internet age, it just takes, you know, a matter of hours.
Okay, let me try a new one. All right. Let me start over. Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one Viking podcast in all of the Dark Tower books. I'm your host, Parker. And as always, I'm joined by co-host Jason Razorman Frizzman.
It's a man, baby.
There you go. That's the one.
Intro. Nothing played out about that.
You're bringing it back, I think. Well, I've been hearing more about it. It seems like everywhere I go, everybody's like, who is this Austin Powers man of mystery?
That's true. It's, you know, there's some podcasts bringing it back. Those kissing contests have done a lot to bring it back as well.
Speaking of podcasts, but keeping it fresh rather than bringing it back, we are joined by Corey Sklar from Illogical Contraction Radio.
Yeah.
From RadioValencia.pm.
That's all wrong stuff that you just said.
I love the ad that you have where, I forget his name now, the guy from Tim and Eric.
Yeah, David Leiby Hart.
David Leiby Hart.
Yes.
He gets everything wrong except for the day and time that your show is on.
Yeah, he refuses to do more than one take for anything, for
that's
us
stellar.
At least. Yeah, so he's like, I'm done, and he throws down the paper and walks out. So that's all we had to work with, really.
It's a badge of honor. It's fantastic. But yeah, it's a Logical Contraption Radio, of course, on RadioValencia.fm.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Happy Rocktober. It's an honor to be with you on the greatest month of the year on planet Earth.
Indeed, this is the greatest month. Speaking of Rocktobers, have you guys seen the movie Rocktober Blood?
No. What's Rocktober Blood about?
I've never seen it, no.
Oh, well, it's like a slasher movie. That was going to be my Halloween sick pick for the week. So I just wanted to mention it real quick. But, yeah, so how are things with you guys this week? Do you guys have any exciting stories to tell?
I'm not doing so well. I'm pretty sad today, especially. I'll tell you why. I was watching that CBGB's movie on
Monday.
That's
already sad.
Yeah.
It's already a sad story.
I sat through the whole movie, and I can't stop thinking about it. But, like, seeing those dudes playing the Ramones, that they didn't look like the Ramones at all. But I'm like, damn, those guys look really good in leather jackets, right? I've always wanted a leather jacket. So I bought a leather jacket on eBay, and it came, and people are always like, you can't buy a leather jacket on eBay. You got to really, you know, go out there and shop for one, make sure you get a good fit. You got to pay like $800 for one. I'm like, fuck that. You know, I'm not going to pay that much for a jacket. And I thought I could cheat the system. So I got this jacket today to try to look like the Ramones, you guys, from CBGB's movie. And it just does not fit. And it looks, I look like a even fatter Meatloaf from Rocky Horror Picture Show, I think, with it on.
That's probably better than looking like the Ramones from the CBGB movie, though.
Oh, thanks. Oh, okay, you're making me feel a little better. But I think, like, you can't just cheat the system, you know? I think it's like, how did these, like, biker guys, though, pay $800 for a jacket, you know? I'm confused. Well, do they steal them?
I assume they probably steal them, or, like, they know a guy who knows a guy or something.
Yeah, I think you're right. Or maybe, you know, I was thinking maybe it's like how, like, when we were little, Converse Chuck Taylors were like, you know, $20 and now they're like $70. Maybe it's inflation or something.
Yeah. Back before the Ramones, like, they were probably just giving away leather jackets to anybody who wanted one.
Right. If you like looked vaguely Marlon Brando-esque, you'd just get one.
Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right about how you have to like actually go and get one. I got a leather jacket this one time. Like I was like super into the Ramones and like the Screeching Weasels and the Queers and all those guys. And I was like, man, I need this leather jacket. I need it badly. And my girlfriend bought me a leather jacket because she was very nice at the time. And like she got one that was like way too big and it had like the most insulation ever on the inside. So I think I had the same problem as you. Like it was just like it looked more like a leather coat than a leather or like a winter coat than a leather jacket.
Yeah, yeah. I think next time I'm just going to go for a straight, like, Neo leather, like, trench coat from Matrix, you know?
Speaking of bringing it back, that's something that should come back. In my high school days, I had nothing but Goodwill leather jackets like that. Well, they weren't leather. They were probably made out of cloth. But those trench coats, I had so many of those.
Yeah, they look good, especially with shorts and a Sepultura shirt. They look really well.
That's true. That's what a lot of the kids at my school had, but I had the aforementioned Queer shirts and Ramones shirts. I didn't have any Sepultura shirts. Did you guys know that Sepultura was the first band that they played on MTV 2?
I did not know that. That is a fact.
It is a fact.
Wow.
Look at you. You got facts galore.
I got all kinds of facts.
More
over
in
here.
Store with facts galore. How do you know that? Were you just like brushing up on your MTV 2 history lately? Or?
Well, a little bit. I kind of was, but I just remember that because I watched MTV 2. You know,
as it was coming on.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, you know, a cultural touchstone for my generation. You probably don't remember it, Frisbee.
No, I'm far too young. Way did you guys, than both of you.
Did you guys have that? So you're too young to know this, but Parker, maybe did you have that channel on cable where you would like call and enter a 900 number and enter in 3 digits and it would play whatever video you wanted on TV? It was called The Box.
Yeah, I had that.
That was a weird channel, huh?
Yeah, that was totally weird. I called one time and got them to play Jim Carrey doing Don't You Want Somebody to Love? Because I was like really excited for that movie, The Cable Guy, to come out. And it was like right before then. So I wanted to see the video.
You charged $5.50 on your parents' MasterCard to watch Jim Carrey on TV.
Yeah. I used to charge all kinds of money to my parents' like phone bill. This one time my friend Jono ran away to Las Vegas. And I think I talked to him like for 4 hours a day, long distance collect, like the whole time that he was gone. And my parents were like so mad about it.
You're like, but he's my friend.
We're good friends. I even let him, like, back in the olden days, back before we had cell phones, like, you could even call collect, like, to a third party. And I would always accept the charges so that Jono could talk to other friends of ours, too.
That was the ultimate scam right there. You really scammed your folks on that one.
That's what they get.
Hey, so Jono ran away to Las Vegas so he could call you to talk to you and other friends for hours throughout the day?
Yeah.
That's a bizarre reason to run away somewhere.
Why else would you run away? I mean, you have, like, this was before the Twitters. Like, he had to keep us informed.
It just sounds like he spent most of the day keeping in touch with people. And knowing Jono, like, that used to be, like, a daily occurrence. I know he doesn't do that now, but around that time, like, yeah, that would be most of his day, wouldn't it? Like, what else was he doing? Was he playing the tables or anything? Must have been too young.
Yeah, he was a baby. He couldn't play any tables. But
how old was he when he ran away to Las Vegas?
Like 15 or 16.
Okay, I thought it was because did you get like I'm not not to take away from your story, but there was a 9-year-old in the news that ran away to Las Vegas this week.
Oh well.
Anyway, sorry. Go on.
That really ruins my whole story. That kid was way too young.
No, I'm still curious about like what the turnout was for this because. I just like the idea that he's like, I'm going to run away, and now I'm just going to spend hours on the phone. Like, I imagine him, I mean, obviously, it's going to be on a payphone or something, but I imagine, like, a mattress next to it where he's laying on his stomach with his legs kicked up, like he's on Mystery Date or something.
Yeah.
And he's chatting with his friends back in Ohio, so what you doing? And, yeah, he wasn't, it just sounds like he was on the phone forever. I was just curious what he was doing in Las Vegas.
Just talking on the phone, you know? And what else is he going to do? He was underage. What's he going to do? Go get hookers and drugs and drink?
Yeah, I guess. Get a job somewhere there or play tables. Like, pretend he's, what was it, Nico Papadopoulos. Get one of those fake IDs and do it Vegas Vacation style.
Well, he did kind of do it that way. Wait, was it Vegas Vacation where, like, they made a bunch of jokes about the dam? Because I remember Jono called me to tell me that he made a bunch of dam jokes, like, where he would be like, where's the dam picnic area? Because those jokes are always funny.
He's always ahead of his time. Yeah.
Well, that's where they got it. They stole it from him.
So that was my week.
Well, what are you going to do with this leather jacket now? Are you going to throw it away? Are you going to try to wear it?
No, I'm going to resell it on eBay, I guess. Not before I take embarrassing pictures and send them to you guys, though. So
I would appreciate that.
Look for those.
Do you think it's ethical to sell that leather jacket on eBay, knowing that somebody who buys it is going to want to look like the Ramones, but when they get it, they're just going to look like fat meatloaf?
What if the next guy that gets it is like, it fits magically, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't deny that guy that pleasure.
That's true. And it's like,
what if it's meatloaf?
It could be meatloaf, and it is close to Halloween, so maybe it's somebody who wants to be meatloaf for Halloween from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Hey, yeah, everyone, that's true. Everyone who wants to be that character, look for my jacket on eBay. I'll get it out to you before Halloween, I promise.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's got to be like tons of showings of Rocky Horror going on, like, you know, since it's not a midnight movie in such rotation anymore as it used to be. There's got to be plenty of people like, man, I really got to be Meatloaf from Rocky Horror. Halloween's coming, so that midnight movie is going to start up. I got to get my toilet paper, my toast, and all that other crap, and remember all those stupid lines, and then get my Meatloaf costume together.
Yeah, Rocky Horror is a Halloween spooktacular tradition, that's for sure. And yeah, it sucks when you're a guy my size because you can't really be like anyone else in Rocky Horror other than Meatloaf, you know? So I feel you out there, other Meatloafs.
Yeah, you could try to, you could probably pull off the wheelchair guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Meatloaf played that guy in the original play as well, so you're right.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Dual roles, Frisbee. Did you know that? Another fact.
I didn't. I feel like that's a lie. But I like to think it's true. Are you doing anything for Halloween? Like, since we're in October and whatnot, are you doing anything spoopy for it?
Me, I'm going to see Danny Elfman from Oingo Boingo Land.
No shit.
Yes.
Really?
And so that's what Shelby and I, our band, Shelby Cobras, and I, we have a party rock band. We're playing on Halloween proper, but I'm going to really celebrate going to see Danny Elfman in Los Angeles. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, he's going to be singing his Tim Burton songs, though, so it's probably going to suck. So we'll see.
There'll be a lot of Nightmare Before Christmas swag. People will have just come from Hot Topic expecting to get that stuff signed.
Embarrassing. There's actually a Jack Skellington fedora they sell at Disneyland.
Oh.
Yeah, so I expect to see a lot of those there. You know, we'll see.
I think that that's fedorable myself.
That's disgusting.
Trying to get that to catch on still.
What are you guys doing for Halloween?
Oh, this is very awkward. I don't know. I'm trying to go to L.A. Like, me and the wife are very poor, but I want to go to L.A. because Mark Fredo's band is playing at Cinefamily on the 26th.
What's his band?
They're called the Milk Dudes.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'll be down there for that. I'll go see the Milk Dudes.
Yeah, it should be fun. So I want to go to that. And then there's this horror movie marathon the next night at the Arrow Theater.
And that's a great theater.
Yeah, I've never been there, but it seems pretty good. They're playing Amityville Part 2, and that is the Amityville where things get real crazy. Things are pretty nuts in that movie. I just watched it a couple months ago. I don't really remember the specifics of the craziness. I know a guy peels off his own skin, his face skin. That's pretty cool.
I can't wait for you to see it on the big screen.
I would love to see that face skin on the big screen. What about you, Mr. Frisbee? What are your Halloween plans?
Well, we had talked about that with Mark and Shelby. Shelby Cobra's also from Logical Contraption.
Shelby Cobretti.
Shelby Cobretti.
His Christian name.
Yeah. And because flights are very cheap where I live to get to LA, and because I'm very reckless with my money and my time, I was also thinking about trying to make that same thing you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that hinges on whether you go or not. So I don't want to, you know,
if you guys go out are there. If you guys are both out in LA when I'm there, you guys should let me take you out for a night on the town. Let me tell you, I could show you things you've never seen before in Los Angeles.
You could show us the world.
I'll show you a dead fucking clown, and I'm not joking. A dead clown.
Is it still there from the time you first heard about it?
Yes, the dead clown is there. It's like Stand By Me, but it's a clown.
Sweet. Can't wait for those leeches. This will be awesome. Yeah, that sounds fun. By the way, when you said you're gonna take us out for a night on the town, you sounded exactly like mid-80s Ric Flair talking about how rich and powerful he is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good sign. That means you're being incredibly honest. So
thank you. Okay, thank you.
And it means that sometime. It also means that sometime during the night, like, your face will be very bloody for no reason.
Well, it's better than modern day Ric Flair, right?
Yeah.
Sad Ric Flair. That's what we call the modern day Ric Flair. We call him sad divorced Ric Flair.
Oh.
But well, you know how it is. Hey, Mr. Frisbee, I hear that we have a new iTunes review.
Yeah, we certainly do. This one comes from KZ Justin. And title of the review is Random and Funny. Great. It's a 5-star review. I'd like to add that. Thanks, KZ Justin. He goes on to say, this is a funny podcast. I like the TV special episodes they do. They change it up and keep a great variety on the show. The only thing that doesn't change is that it is funny and enjoyable consistently. I look forward to listening every week. Thanks, Pool Party Radio. That's the nicest review we've ever received. It's also the most coherent one.
Yeah, usually they have like a lot of like grammar mistakes and syntax errors and stuff.
I'd like to echo that listener as a listener myself, and I'm sure you get this a lot, but I too love these special TV episodes. And yeah, I'm sad to see Saved by the Bell go. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, there's still one more left.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm going to try to do the college years in the new class as well, but those are apparently OOP. So it's going to be tricky. It's going to be tricky to find those.
Wow, maybe, now that the Silk Road is closed down, I guess you can't find them on the black market either.
Damn, this government shutdown.
Oh, you're right. I forgot we are living in the post-apocalypse right now. But, you know, I wanted to always tell you guys this, that I have a friend who worked on the set of Saved by the Bell during the peak years. And she said that Peter Engel, who is that how you say his name, I guess? That's like the guy that the creator, the producer of all those shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was Saved by the Bell, and then there was California Dreams, and then there was the basketball one. I don't know what that one's like, called Two Dudes or something. Mm-hmm. But she said that Peter Engel was always on the set, and he was fucking crazy, and he was being a crazy dictator screaming at the kids all the time on the set. So I just want to let you know that.
That sounds reasonable. I would imagine that a guy who creates such a like whimsical, magical like world of whimsy and magic would probably be like some sort of iron-fisted dictator in real life.
Yeah, and like he did, you know, he thought what he was making was like great art. Like, he was really serious about these shows. So goes to show you, you know, people are not right when they make a lot of money.
I'm going to disagree with you there. I think that he seems like a pretty grounded guy, knowing exactly what he was creating at the time.
You think he was creating great art?
Yeah, of course.
We've only talked about how terrible these episodes are and ridiculed them mercilessly.
That's how you can tell the mark of great art. Like, okay. It was just the other day that Sean Byron was telling me that Shakespeare is a real piece of shit. So that's how you can tell how good of a piece of art has lasted and endured.
I don't follow your argument at all. Sean Byron said he was a piece of shit.
He said the Shakespeare was a real piece of shit. Now you're saying that Saved by the Bell is a real piece of shit. So that means Shakespeare and Saved by the Bell are on the same page.
Okay. Well, I mean, if Sean Byron agrees that Saved by the Bell is a piece of shit, then I guess that works.
But he said that Shakespeare was a piece of shit. He loves Saved by the Bell.
You're just being contrarian. Like, that's all.
I don't think you understand my analogy here.
Shakespeare invented that word.
Shakespeare, a lot of people don't realize this, created Saved by the Bell.
I thought you were going to say Shakespeare is a piece of shit. I don't know if a lot of you realize this.
It's also true.
Well, he's no Baz Luhrmann.
That's true. That he's is no Peter Engel.
That's true. Now you're starting to get it, Frisbee.
I'm coming around. Yeah.
Also, do you guys know, have you guys ever, has anyone ever talked to you about like meeting Dennis Haskins? Is that his name, Mr. Bell? Dennis Haskins?
Yeah.
Like, he's very easy to meet. Like, has anyone told you about his whole karaoke thing he does?
I've heard about it. I mean, okay. He's a regular on that circuit, but I've also seen like other photos of him in very odd situations. Like, wasn't he with some rapper and a couple other people, like a random mix of people in a hotel room, like a really dank looking hotel room?
I don't know about that. Like, oh, he's Val Kilmering it up in Hollywood. But, there, you know, there's this place right by NBC Studios called Dimples. And it's a really, really cheesy karaoke bar. And he's there 3 or 4 nights a week. and he sings Billy Joel's Piano Man, but he changes the word Piano Man into Mr. Belding. So it's like, sing us a song, Mr. Belding. And he does it every night. It's very pathetic.
Yeah, it sounds pathetic.
That's very sad. That's sadder than Buster Keaton staying in a trailer outside of Universal Studios or wherever it was for like the rest of his career.
That's right.
Buster Keaton was that guy who defeated Mike Tyson for the belt.
That's the one. Yeah. Yeah.
He was a hell of a fighter. Underrated, I feel.
Yeah.
Not a very good video game named after him, though.
No, not at all. It was very misleading.
The Buster Keaton Punch-Out game?
Yeah.
I love that game. There's that fight where if you get knocked out, then you fall off that clock tower.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Iconic. That's iconic.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite levels in any video game.
Classic. But yeah, quickly going back to Halloween, yeah, I don't really have any other plans. That's the one thing I was thinking about doing was taking a quick weekend trip to LA and seeing what was out there.
Will you dress up?
To the nines, yeah. I'm gonna be fucking fancy, but
you're gonna wear your fedora.
No. I said I was gonna be fancy. No. I'm gonna be wearing a fedora.
Oh, you said fancy and not annoying.
Right.
Okay.
Not like a
Frisbee, this is the second time during this episode that you've mentioned how well dressed you are. Like, can you give me and the listeners maybe some fashion tips for the fall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Bow ties are back in.
Did you ever wear a bow tie for real?
No, I would never wear a bow tie.
You would never.
But they're back in, so you can wear them if you want.
But you were into ska. How did you not have a bow tie?
Oh, you'd have to wear a bow tie if you were into ska. You just have like a bad matching suit and a long skinny tie.
Only the horn section wore a bow tie, mostly the trumpet player.
Well, and also that lead singer from Madness. That might be who you're thinking of.
Oh, I don't know. Me and my friends, we liked ska, and we all had bow ties. And also, we were in a ska band called the Bowtie Gang. You may have remembered us.
Oh, I have that 7-inch, dude.
We were on Mojo Records for a short time.
It's pretty great, yeah. Yeah, you had that single on Moon Ska, split with the skinny neckties. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was us. And then also we were on the basketball soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah. And then you dropped off the face of the earth for some reason.
Now we play the boardwalk at Santa Cruz sometimes.
Pretty sweet.
As all ska bands do.
Didn't your lead singer start some like children's show on Nickelodeon too?
Yep. That's the guy.
I mean, speaking of, you had one of these guys on your show. You've had quite a few guests, actually. You had the guy who helped out with the Aquabats Super Show, right?
Yeah. He was a weird guy. Like, he's a writer. He was a writer on Gabba Gabba Woe or whatever it's called. And then he was a writer on Aquabats Super Show, like a producer. But he's also like a roadie for the Vandals in the summer. So I didn't really know what this guy's deal was.
Yeah, he's...
And he's a gay Jewish guy, so, you know, don't trust him.
he's a troubadour. He's all over the place, and it's impressive. And I wanted to bring this up. You guys get a lot of impressive guests on your show. We were just talking before the show. You had Dave Attell on last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you also had one of my childhood idols, TV's Frank Conniff, and that was awesome.
Yeah, he's one of my idols too. I love him so very much.
Yeah, it was great, like hearing him talk and everything. I usually just follow his Twitter, which, I mean, it only gives you like one small facet of how some of these celebrities or people who've been in industry that you've seen on TV talk about themselves or what they're up to. So it was neat to actually hear him in an interview. I don't recall.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Who else are you planning on having on your show?
Well, I don't have anyone planned right now, but I'll tell you who my gets are that I really want to get. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Cera, number one wanna get. I want to talk to that man more than anything. I think he's got a great brain on him, and I think he's a true artist. And I would like to talk to Michael Cera. Jesse Eisenberg, star of The Social Network. That guy is a talk about a Renaissance man, you know?
What is he doing now, though? Because I'm thinking of Social Network, but I can't think of what he's done lately.
He did that movie where he's a magic guy that steals from you. Mm-hmm. So he did that.
A classic Shakespearean tale.
Yeah. Yeah, the class. Yeah, Much Ado About Magic.
Magic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chris Angel was a consultant on that, and they worked closely on that set. And last but not least, I want to get Donald Fagen of the great band Steely Dan on, and that's it. But, you know, it's not easy getting all these guests. But I'll tell you what helps me is Scientology.
Hey, that helps me too.
Oh, cool. High five.
I was going to say, like, your Illuminati connections could help, because I just became apparent a couple weeks ago that you are a full-fledged agent of the Illuminati. Is that correct?
Well, that's what one listener claims on YouTube. he says he thinks that our show is in cahoots with Seth Rogen, and because we're all Jewish or something, and all Jewish people, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so we had a crazy stalker listener, and he went to YouTube and said we were in the Illuminati, so that's cool. I think that's some sort of sign of making it.
I think it is. Yeah, like... You need like such a breadth of an audience, and then you also need to be once you get big enough, somebody needs to claim that you're like a lizard person or a member of the Illuminati, and that's how you know you've made it. It's not the mansions or anything anymore. There's not enough mansions to go around. So
hey, they could call me anything they want, just don't call me late for dinner.
Whoa.
Nice. Good. Shakespearean wisdom.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I got that from the bard himself.
Mm-hmm. You know who I think is part of the Illuminati? Is that Jesse P.S. from the Pod Awful Show?
Oh, right, yes.
From our Pod Awful Network.
Yeah, we, you and I, Frisbee, a long time ago, recorded this huge extra thing about the Illuminati exposing their secrets, and we gave it to Jesse to put in the bonus network, like the bonus section of the network, and he never posted it. So I think he's in charge of the Illuminati.
It's mysteriously disappeared, yeah.
That's pretty mysterious. I think the connections are all there.
Yeah, maybe it's not so much a mystery if you just connect the dots. We should probably call Coast to Coast or something and let them know.
Don't call Coast to Coast. Call Art Bell on his new show.
Oh, we'll call Art Bell.
Yeah, it's called
Dark Matter. He's got a new
show. It's called Dark Matter. It's really good.
I think we should call Joe Rogan because he questions everything. You guys be watching that show?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I can't. I try to watch it. I can't really make it through like 2 minutes of that guy.
Well, he does question everything, and I think he proved that Big Feetsmen exist on one of the episodes, so I think he could prove this Illuminati stuff.
Didn't Pop get Goldwaite already do that? No, he made a movie about Bigfoot existing?
No, but, well, he's going to in the future.
Mm.
But he hasn't already. Or maybe he did. It's not out yet, is what I mean to say.
Well, I thought it was out.
Maybe it is. His movies really suck, so...
I think it's hitting the festival circuit, guys.
Yeah, the festivals. You know, like the traveling carnivals that go to Catholic churches. It's playing that circuit.
Yeah. Because it's like Tim Burton looking people traveling through your town with a giant movie screen.
Well, I do want to enjoy the lightning round with you guys. Would you guys enjoy the lightning round with me?
Yeah.
I don't have the drop that starts the lightning round. I'll be honest with you guys.
Can we do an acapella version?
If you guys would like to.
Okay, I'll do the announcer voice. If Corey, would you like to do the Chuck Norris voice?
What's it say?
It's time in a whisper.
Okay, sure, I could do that.
Okay, and then should I do the music part then? The do 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 doos.
Yeah, you can do the thunder at the beginning, and then I'll do my part, and then after I say my part of and now. And then Corey says, it's time.
Okay.
And then I'll say for the lightning round, and you do the do-do-do-do, okay?
Okay, so I it's been a long time since we've done the lightning round. So I do lightning noises, and then at the end I do the do-do-do-do-do-do's?
Yeah, you're the very first thing and the very last thing.
Okay. Right. I am the Alpha and the Omega.
You are.
Like that Marilyn Manson album. Do you guys ever listen to him?
Nope.
No. No, I do. All right.
I'm more of a Twisted guy. Okay, go on.
It's Twisted with a Z. That's how you can tell that they're tough.
Yeah, Twisted.
Yeah, because ICP was already taken. They're like, we're painting our faces already.
Mm-hmm. You pronounce it like Twizzlers. All right, let's do it.
Okay, all right. lightning sounds.
And now
it's time
for the lightning round.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
That was perfect.
Man, that was great. I'm going to get a drop of that. That's what we're going to use for now on.
Nice.
The one time a year that we do the lightning round.
Yeah.
Mr. Frisbee, I want you to know that U.S. school has banned a U.S. holiday. That's a terrible headline. It looks like there will be no trick-or-treating this year in a school in Seattle as the administration has banned students from celebrating Halloween. How do you guys feel about this? How big of a deal was Halloween for you at your schools?
Huge.
It was a U.S. holiday?
Yeah, it's a holiday.
Oh, as banned U.S. holiday. Okay, sorry. I don't know if that makes a toll. Well, that article is that headline is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But, so yeah, they're not going to hang up like paper cutouts of pumpkins and ghosts.
They're not going to let anybody dress up.
You dressed up in your school?
Yeah,
I dressed up every year.
Mm-hmm. We were encouraged to dress up. We had a whole day where we were allowed to dress up. And then at the end of the day, we had a big parade.
Yep, the parade where everyone...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is what's so confusing, though. It's because everyone's in the parade to show off their costume. But if everyone's in the parade, then who's watching, who's looking at all the costumes?
Yeah.
There you go. That's every year, that was a problem in my school.
Then who was phone? So.
Now, Parker, what are some memorable costumes from your youth do you remember parading around your little school there?
Well, the first year that I was allowed to pick my own costume was third grade, and I dressed up like Jason Voorhees. So that was a big one for me. And then a couple of years later, I was like a real dork, you know? Like I was like a real nerd, and I had this girlfriend, and I dressed up. I like put on like a baseball shirt, and I had a baseball bat, and I put like blood all over myself, and I said that I was going to be a dead baseball guy. But then my girlfriend, she didn't have a costume. So I let her put her arm in my sleeve, and then we were dead baseball Siamese twins, which makes no sense because I don't think that a Siamese twin could, you know, get signed to the major leagues.
Mm-mm. Maybe the minors.
Yeah. Probably the minors, but never to the majors. So that costume made no sense.
You know, you should have gone as one of the baseball Furies from the Warriors, and she should have gone as one of the Vixens, the Deadly Vixens from the Warriors.
Well, saying that she should have been one of the Vixens is sexist, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Girls can be baseball Furies. It's 2013 now, Frisbee.
But she didn't have an outfit. I'm just saying, like, she could have just worn her plain clothes.
Hey, like, check your privilege, Frisbee.
I gotta get back on Tumblr. I'm sorry.
You're gonna have to learn how to behave from Tumblr.
Yeah.
What about you guys? What were some of your guys' favorite costumes?
I remember actually going as, when I was really young, I went as, because I think when I guess when I was 10 years old was like when it was the 15-year anniversary for Rocky Horror around Halloween. And I remember as a 10-year-old, like I bought into the hype. And so I was Frankenfurter, like a transvestite for Halloween. I remember that was pretty controversial around my family. But my dad, I remember my dad helping me curl my hair too.
Oh, that's fucking rad. You got to use your own hair for a Frankenfurter costume.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And because my dad permed his hair back in the 70s, you know. And then I remember one time, and I'm not trying to, like, be cool about it, because I was Spider-Man and Superman, you know, all the boring ones. But just what comes to mind is I was Father Karras from Exorcist Part 3. And I don't know why I was so obsessed with that movie when I was a kid, but I would just rent it over and over again. So, yeah, those are what comes to mind when I think about it.
Did you ever read that book, Legion?
No, of course, I don't read.
That's understandable. Reading is pretty played out. But I was holding that book in my hand the other day, and I was like, should I read this? And then I decided not to read it. But now that you've mentioned it, that's the world telling me that I should actually read that book.
It's Halloween Town, man. I mean, time. Halloween Time.
It's also Halloween Town. I was in Halloween Town at the time.
Oh. Yeah.
That's where they have the bookstore that sells that book still.
Great town.
Mm-hmm. What are you guys going to dress up as this year? And next year, what big plan? Like, what's your ideal thing to dress up as? Is what I mean to say.
Frisbee, what do you come on? What are you going to dress up as besides really stylish and beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, even more stylish and beautiful.
And if money is no object, if you go into like the biggest costume party there ever was, like, what's your ideal thing to dress up as?
Honestly, you go ahead. I want to hear what you're doing.
Okay, I had gone as and this is kind of typical for people to do who are like David Bowie fans. I went as Ziggy Stardust one year, and I thought it would be kind of, it was a welcome idea to keep going as incarnations of David Bowie, like up until the 90s Bowie era, like when he would have kind of elaborate costumes and stuff, when he was Lord Byron and all that. So I kind of wanted to do different incarnations of him. I wanted to go as like Aladdin Sane the next year and Halloween Jack the year after that and keep going. So yeah, I'd probably want to do an incarnation of Bowie. I think that'd be pretty awesome if I had the money for it. But when I don't have the money for it, I just go as a ghoul. And that's always worked for me. I actually have had lots of success going to Halloween parties and meeting people just as a ghoul.
And you say things to them like, hey, how you doing? I'm Jason. I really like Human Centipede.
Do you want to watch Siberian film with me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've watched all the Saw movies. All that stuff works. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good. It's
a good costume.
Yeah, yeah. What about you guys? What do you got plans for this year? If you could spend all the money you could, but also, what are you likely to go as?
I spent $100 this year on my costume.
What is it?
And it's an Alf costume. It's a full body Alf costume. Alien life form Alf from the 80s television sitcom.
That's pretty cool.
Are you and renting it or?
No. I Googled Alf costume, and up on Amazon was an adult size Alf costume for $99. I'm like, fuck that. I'm grabbing it.
The irony is that when you put it on, it's going to make you look like a fat meatloaf.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know, that's my worst nightmare. On the Alf costume, I took measures to make sure I wouldn't look like fat meatloaf in it. I like measured myself and then looked at the Amazon thing. But if money were no object, I mean, on course, the Predator outfit with a moving mouth and eyeballs.
That would be great. That would scare so many people so badly.
Yeah. But you have to be a tall, fit, beautiful man like Jason Frisbee to be able to wear that. Like, you have to be David Bowie shape.
Oh, please. I'm only kind of tall. Thank you, anyway.
I hope that somebody puts that, like, as your quote, like, in your obituary. You know? Like,
tall, beauty, Bowie-esque.
No, the I'm only kind of tall. Those are the kind of words you want to be remembered by.
Yeah. But with the Alf costume, like, how will you see from it? Like, I'm imagining that you have the Alf furry body, right? And
yeah,
that the head, like, to me, you're looking out of the mouth, like a.
No, head. I think it's like so narrow that it like the nose actually goes over your nose and mouth, and his eyes are your eyes. But like, it's gonna be way hot, so I'll probably only wear this temporarily, and I have two backups too. So I'm really getting into Halloween, you guys. I have a Sleestak backup, and I have a Hamburglar backup, and those are both very loose and comfortable. And if worst comes to worst and it's really hot, I'm just going to, you know, wear. I have a Fred Flintstone tunic that I don't have to wear anything under.
That's true. That could get pretty breezy, though. It could get cold.
Mm-hmm. Especially here nice, in the Windy City. That's mm-hmm. what they call San Francisco, I think. But, so I'm all set for Halloween. Parker, what are you going to be?
I will probably be nothing. I love Halloween desperately, but I rarely dress up because, as I mentioned on the Junk Food Dinner a few weeks ago, I feel like if you dress up, you should stay in character. And I think that's just like a rule that I put on myself. You know, I understand that people don't feel that way, but I think it should be part of the Halloween thing. And so whenever I dress up, I try to stay in character, but it's always like very hard. You know, so,
it's very difficult.
It's too hard to do, especially if you're going out to parties and people are like, oh, hey, you know, Parker, how you doing? And then you like start talking to them about business cards. Like, they don't understand that I'm supposed to be Patrick Bateman. They just don't get it. And it like is very confusing to everybody. So I don't dress up that much. And also, as a chubby guy, anytime you dress up, everybody will just go, oh, look, there's that chubby Spike from Buffy. There he is. He showed up. There he is. That's. As this chubby Freddy, he showed up to the party. So it's always a bad time. You got to like be somebody who is chubby, and that's just not fun. There's not like a lot of cool, iconic Halloween costumes that are already chubby.
Well, the focus of you right now is your beard. So you have to think of like iconic beardly men. Whether or not you're chubby is completely, I mean, it's not even on the back burner. It's far away. Like, you have this gorgeous mane around your chin. So what characters could you be that focus on that?
Well, I guess that I could go out. Every time I leave my house, about five people go, "Hey, Duck Dynasty." So I guess I could be those guys.
Yeah, just wear a camo hat instead of a regular Stetson or something.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll also like have like a bag full of duck carcasses to stay in character, you know?
Yeah, or just have like a duck call. And as you get progressively more drunk through the night, you could just blow that duck call.
That's true. Or I could like make obscene calls in a duck voice, like in that, was it like a Fulci movie, The New York Ripper?
Okay.
That's a movie. A guy makes obscene phone calls in a duck voice. It's the stupidest goddamn thing I ever saw when I was 8 years old. I think that movie like totally turned me against Italian horror as a young kid.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be that for Halloween. That's what I'll do. Because I'm a hermit, I'll just call my friends in that obscene duck voice when they're at parties, and then that will be my costume. I won't even have to dress up as anything.
I'll make sure you use the Duck Dynasty brand duck calls when you do that, though.
I will. Yeah. They're a little bit more expensive, but they're worth it.
Yeah. That's why they have a dynasty.
That's true. I like that, throughout time, there have been, like, some dynasties, you know? Like, there have been, the Ming Dynasty. And then now we have the Duck Dynasty.
I know. Thank God.
I think that people from the past would laugh at us. But, I don't know. But then again, we do have Phil Jackson and his dynasties, you know? He's like a very good basketball coach.
Mm-hmm. That's a sports joke, right?
Yeah, that's a sports joke. You know, I know. So I think the Ming Dynasty pales in comparison to what Phil Jackson has done.
Or the Joan Collins Dynasty.
That was also a good dynasty. Yeah, we've got a lot of good dynasties now in the future. So what else is going on with you guys?
So U.S. schools canceling.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that Halloween.
Halloween's the best. Lightning round.
Yeah, I forgot that we were doing the lightning round. We do it so rarely.
Yeah.
The next story I have, Mr. Frisbee. If I can click this stupid pop-up and make it go away. A teenage girl was crucified in France to expel demons. These are the kinds of stories we like. Police discovered the emaciated 19-year-old at a housing estate in Grigny, which is just the worst-sounding town, a southern Paris suburb, where blah, 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 they were beaten. Four members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, including the victim's boyfriend, are accused of carrying out a week-long crucifixion to expel her demons. What do you think about this, Mr. Frisbee? Do you think this is tied into Halloween? Do you think this is because of Halloween?
Well, it is kind of spooky.
So spooky.
I don't think it's Halloween related. Do you think it's Halloween related?
Of course, that's when all the spookiness happens. This girl was obviously housing a demon because the demons come out on Halloween.
But see, if she was possessed, they said she was possessed, right?
Yep.
Okay. None of them saw Exorcist. Corey, we were just talking about Exorcist. Did they ever crucify anybody in any of the Exorcist movies?
No, I think they do in the classic movie Repossessed, starring Leslie Nielsen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so maybe that's what they where they learned. These French people learned that.
But if they watch that, they should also know that singing "Devil with the Blue Dress On" actually gets the demon out.
It doesn't say they didn't do that.
Oh, well, maybe they did.
Yeah.
Does it say did they sing "Devil with the Blue Dress On"?
Yep.
In a montage of everybody else who was in the film.
It's down here. They buried it in paragraph 5, but it's there.
Okay.
They say that this was done, I think I already mentioned that it was done by Seventh-day Adventists. Do you guys know any Seventh-day Adventists, and how much do you like to goof on this silly religion?
Is that what David Liebehardt is?
I don't know, is it?
I don't know.
I know that they, like, worship water, or, like, they're afraid of water, one of the two.
I don't even know what it is. Is it like a, I don't know what it is. I can't comment. I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
Oh, well,
I'm scared to talk badly against anyone.
That's understandable. I had a girlfriend once whose parents were Seventh-day Adventist, and she was not allowed to wear jewelry or dance. So that's what I know about them. And also her dad had one hand. I don't know if that was related to the religion or not.
So they cut off your hand in this religion? I'm very confused.
I remember this because you went to dinner at her house and you met her father and did not know what to do.
Yeah.
When you greeted him, you could not shake his missing hand. How did that turn out? What did you end up doing? Did well, you run away?
No, I was like, it was like the most, I mean, like I get, you know, like I start to sweat profusely and like start shaking when I have to like shake anybody's hand, no matter, you know, like just normally throughout the day because I'm very hermity. But, yeah. You know, so I go over to this lady's house for Thanksgiving, which I'm already very against Thanksgiving for very personal reasons. And so I'm already nervous. And then this guy goes to shake my hand and it's like a stump with a thumb sticking out of it. And so I just kind of like grabbed onto it, you know, and moved it up and down. And it was just the worst. And like I had to look at him in his eyes the whole time. But like he already knew that I knew that he had just like a stump with a thumb. It was the worst.
Oh, shit, man.
See, that's how you know you're not ghoulish, is because real ghouls would just gobble that up. They think that's awesome.
Literally, they would gobble up that hand for the fleshy meat inside.
How many spooky points was that meeting with that dad?
Man, all the spooky points in the world, man. I was so freaked out. And then, and to make matters worse, she broke up with me like 4 days later. Which is just the worst. I went through all that trouble.
Maybe it's because how you reacted to her dad's stump.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Well, to be fair, I did like scream loudly. So, that's never a good reaction to have when meeting somebody.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Mr. Frisbee, have you ever been afraid of being, infected with demons?
No. Not once.
Do you guys
never? Oh, go ahead.
Do you guys believe that you can be infected with demons?
Mm-mm. I don't know. But, you know, speaking, I've always been fascinated by people that speak in tongues, right? It's fun to listen to that stuff.
Yeah, I think Seventh-day Adventists do that.
I think, and there are certain sects of Southern Baptists that will do this too. And I think it's fun at a distance, like if you're watching TV or something and you see like an evangelist kind of leading a congregation or something, you're like, okay, here he goes, he's doing the tongues thing. That's a bit beyond. But I've been to services in support of friends who were finding out that they, like, you know, they're going through a religious stint, or they find out they are religious or whatever. And they asked me to come along with them, so you're not just going alone. I mean, it's part like trying recruitment, but whatever. Being there behind or in front of or just near people who speak in tongues is really uncomfortable. It's a really uncomfortable situation.
Yeah,
it's
probably, I can imagine.
It's probably more uncomfortable than shaking a stump with a thumb sticking out of it. But I might be off on that.
Like, I mean, was it like, are you saying that you felt the spirit of Christ come inside of you when that happened? When you were...
No, I was ready to split. I'm like, it's like the last half of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like the one with Donald Sutherland in it. Mm-hmm. And all of the body snatched people, they just kind of do that high screech, you know, that... to each other.
I'm afraid we're done, Mr. Frisbee. I'm gonna have to cut you off.
It was just like that noise, though. Like that's what was going off in my head. Let's get out.
That's understandable. But to tie this in real quick, exorcism was organized after the victim allegedly leapt on her boyfriend while babbling incomprehensibly, which led him to believe she was possessed by the devil.
Totally reasonable.
Seems like a pretty big leap. But I think
at least it wasn't Shakespeare, right, people?
Yeah, she was probably just like quoting Shakespeare, and it sounded like garbledygook to this guy.
That idiot Shakespeare.
He's not even cultured. But that's the end of the show, I'm afraid. I would like to thank you, Corey, for joining us.
Hey, thank you guys so much. It's been awesome, and I'm going to go to Las Vegas and call you collect. So. Accept it, please.
Sounds good.
I will accept. I'll also accept the charges if you feel like calling Frisbee Collect.
Oh yeah, no. You should accept the charge on you know, in his name.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. That's what we'll do. Where can the kids Find Your Logical Contraction show.
Please, you can find us on iTunes, of course, and Stitcher and all that good stuff. But check out, if you just want it streaming on your web, go to radiovalencia.fm/illogicalcontraption. And we're live every 6 to 8 p.m. on Sundays, Pacific Standard Time. So you could call in and be a part of the show.
That sounds like a good plan. I like when Mr. Frisbee's a part of the show.
I haven't been part of the show for a while.
Hey, let's make that happen. I want you back on the show, buddy.
I enjoy what you guys do, though. And you guys are in a different time slot from when you originally started. You used to be on at Friday nights, like at midnight, Pacific time.
Yeah, so we used to have a lot more drunk, weird callers, and now we don't. Yeah, everyone's watching sure. Everyone's watching their Breaking Bads on Sundays or whatever they're watching nowadays. Girls what? Or Carnival. Everyone's watching TV on Sundays. No one's calling in the show.
They're coming back. They're coming back. I think people are learning to DVR because a few weeks ago you had people consistently calling in for the Super Mario Brothers 2 theme that you started off as bed music.
Oh yeah, we do. We still have assholes to call, so that's true.
That's fantastic.
Well, thank you. Yeah. But yeah, let's get you back on, man. So all you listeners, look out there for Jason Frisbee on Illogical Contraption very soon.
You can also find Jason Frisbee on Pool Party Radio every week. And you can find every episode that Jason Frisbee's ever been on at poolpartyradio.com. That's where we have all those episodes. You can even download the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode from last week. And if you downloaded it early last week, the first day that it was up, you probably have a real shitty version because I'm not good at editing podcasts. And I left like 10 minutes of blank space in the middle. So if you're opposed to that, you can download the new version now. So that was a real big mistake, Mr. Frisbee. I want to apologize to you.
Well, it's okay because it was still a really great show. We had Mark Fredo, the ghost of Mark Fredo, mm-hmm. on that one, joining us. One-time host of Junk Food Dinner.
That's true. And I do think that that was my fault, but also it was our producer Muhammad's fault for not catching it. So that's fixed now. I did tell Muhammad that he's suspended from the show for not catching a mistake like that. And this week, although we didn't mention it at the top of the show, we do have a new producer filling in until I figure out what to do with Muhammad. So I would like to say hello to this guy. Mr. Frisbee, why don't you introduce yourself to this new producer?
Introduce myself?
Just ask him what his name is. Say hello. Tell him your name.
Okay. Hello, new producer. I'm Jason Frisbee. What's your name?
Brian Reichel, a.k.a. Red Band.
We got Brian Redband from the Joe Rogan Show. He's here. He's going to be our producer for a while. So I'm pretty excited about him. You may know Brian Redband, Mr. Frisbee, if you don't listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. He's a guy who just periodically says things that have nothing to do with what's going on in the show. And so I think he'll be a good addition to our show, you know?
He's on the Joe Rogan Show?
He's on the Joe Rogan Show.
I don't listen to that. Do you listen? I've not listened to that show before. All I know is that there's shroom tech and that he's powerful. And that's about the extent of it. Other than that, I thought it was kind of like, you can skip this, kind of like Mark Maron's WTF or something.
Don't you find it weird that capes never caught on?
Yeah, that's pretty weird, I feel. But
I guess that is pretty weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of weird.
And like a guy that has AIDS could sell his own blood and make his own weapons for you, and then that could help him pay his bills for having AIDS.
That's true. That is true, Brian Redband. I feel that you should just worry about posting this episode and editing it later and not talk to us about AIDS. But so he's going to be around. So tune in for him. Also, in the meantime, between now and next episode, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. You post in any Instagram pictures, Mr. Frisbee?
No, none at all. What about you? You used to be doing some comics. What happened?
I haven't done a comic in a while. I think my wife hid my pencils because she didn't like my Sherlock homophobia comic. So I'll have to find those.
Or Manny the Manjuice. But Manny the Manjuice has been around forever. It's not like that is. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I saw a 900-word think piece on your Sherlock homophobia comic on Tumblr.
Yeah, Sherlock homophobia has really got people talking over there.
Can't wait to see the notes. That'll be great.
Such a homophobic character. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all right, so we'll be back next week. So this is Parker for Brian Redband and Corey and Frizzman saying thanks for having fun.
watching my moves on the everybody trying to do it. I lead the functions and all the ladies trying to screw me. Now you just do you, and I'ma do it all day. Niggas love to hate, so they try to shoot me. Bitches be stuck to me, I think they try to glue me. I make the party shine bright when it started gloomy. This beat was bubble gum, so I had to chew it.
Taste me how to duck, taste me, taste me how to duck.
All my bitches love. You ain't fucking with my girl.
Your brain.